Welcome to hosted by Brad Bird and Kyle Lewis. It is a late Thursday evening American Thanksgiving, which is a marker point for playoff entry. Yeah, how else would you say that, Kyle?
It's
a marker point, really, where
indicator of qualification likelihood. That's a little convoluted, but anyway, you made the point.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that we're recording this at 11:30 p.m. my time. Yeah. And the only reason we're able to do this, well, there's two reasons we're doing this. One is to honor American Thanksgiving so that Brad could enjoy it. Because you guys make a way bigger deal out of Thanksgiving than we do in Canada. And two, because I just got off the ice myself. What's ahead?
You guys make a bigger deal of what some other holidays, though, don't you?
Oh, I'm sure we do. Yeah, I don't know what they'd be, but I'm sure we do. Well, but anyway, yeah. Know,
Canadians don't really make a bigger deal of them. You guys just make a lot more holidays.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah, and I just got off the ice myself, so I'm wide awake. In fact, I'm sitting here drinking the recently declared bankrupt BioSteel, a company Mike Kelmer is involved in. Yeah, I think it's delicious and it works well, but...
I heard that. You know, you still see it on the NHL benches all the time. And I did. I heard that it is no longer.
Well, I don't know if it's no longer, if it's still in court, or I don't know what's going on. But
it's probably in court because they wouldn't be drinking it if it was no longer, right?
Yeah. But yeah, Mike Camilleri was heavily involved in the launch of that product and a few other players too, I believe. Yeah. But yeah, Mike's behind that. So
I've never had it. I probably needed it last night when I played.
It's good. You know, it's great for rehydration, which is exactly what it's designed for. And it doesn't taste bad at all. I used to just drink Gatorade, but now I'm trying this stuff and I actually like it.
I don't think my Michelob Ultra hydrated me after I was done last night.
Probably not. I just had one of those and it didn't help at all. So now I'm on the BioSteel. That's literally exactly what I drank.
I had more than one and it didn't help me.
I could have stayed and had more, but
this is more important, right? Yeah.
Well, it is. Yeah, well, it is. We got lots going on.
It's only been a week since we last talked hockey, and it just seems like,
it was a really eventful week, and it was generally a pretty good week in terms of Flames hockey. Things that have, apart last night, notwithstanding, things have improved quite a lot in the last little while.
Yeah. I don't know if, yeah. They have. They have improved. I think they're a little bit more convoluted, but they have improved.
Yeah, last night was a real letdown. Actually, it was one of those rare occasions where I actually tossed the remote after the Huberto giveaway that led to the shorthanded goal. I was really disgusted by that. But no, it's a road game. It's a tough opponent. I mean, things are still trending in a better direction, but I don't think it's made the picture any clearer. If anything, it's less clear what the Flames need to do going forward.
Yes. Hey, one thing before we get on with some real Flames talk, do things actually. Calgary Wranglers announced and debuted a new jersey, and we were jersey guys, so we talk jerseys all day. It is a, I don't know, Blasty look-alike.
Yeah, Blasty derivative, Blasty 2.0.
Do you like this? Because I don't. I knew you'd know. I know you would think I would hate this, right? This is.
Well, I love, as you know, I love the logo that's on my head, the traditional Blasty logo. This one, I don't hate it, but I was actually surprised at how much people loved it. Like the side Blasty view. People are going nuts for it on Twitter, X, whatever.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it could be worse, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's a cool concept. There's no debating that, but
the Wranglers name is awesome.
It is. And the team is pretty awesome too.
Yeah. I wish our NHL team was that awesome.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that's helping it is really is the graduates from the Wranglers. And you know, and just to touch on that quickly, I guess, I mean, we talked about this before, but like Pospisil and Zari, even DeSimone, Gilbert, but there's a couple of guys on the roster that are really, really sucking wind and sucking in general. And one really surprised me. That's Walker Dewar. He's been in the coach's doghouse, hasn't played well. He's been in the lineup. Like that really shocked me a lot.
It shocks me too. I felt like does he look slower to you this year?
Well, he just doesn't. Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say he doesn't have much jump, which is just a different way of saying the same thing. But I mean, even like his forecheck isn't as strong. He's a step behind, like I think you're alluding to. He just he's not, I don't know, he's just not doing much out there. And it's, I don't agree with every coaching decision, no fan does, but it's hard to argue with, you know, keeping him out of the lineup a lot of nights.
I know. I hope that changes. I really, he's a guy I cheer for.
Yeah, but you get a connection to him, do you not?
I mean, I'm from North Dakota. He's the first professional player from South Dakota. Yeah. I don't really particularly care for South Dakota, but I mean, I mean, I don't hate the place. I mean, I find it interesting because there's a lot of hockey in North Dakota and not very much hockey in South Dakota.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting, actually.
That's different, but I don't know. I just cheer for this guy. I love his story. I love his style, right? I love his style of play.
And well, he was one of the few bright spots down the stretch last year, for sure, when he played.
And I don't know, maybe last year we were super high on him just because no other young player was getting an opportunity. So we were like, hell yeah, we like this guy, just because we were clamoring.
But he was delivering, you know, to quote the great Judas Priest, he was delivering the goods. So
he was.
This season, not so much. Now, the other one that's really been a sore spot for me and has been for a lot of Flames for a while, but I'm kind of at the end of my rope with him, is Dylan Dubé.
Are you there?
I'm there. I'm done giving the guy opportunities. I'm over
it. You used to give him, when we first started meeting, you were a Dubé fan, and I was not. And I was up to here with him a long time ago, and I've said on the show, I'll bet you probably 50 times, the only reason people like this guy is because of what he did in the World Juniors, and I'm sick of that now because it doesn't mean crap right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's, you know what? The one thing I do like about him, though, is he's real versatile.
He is, which is desirable in a lot of, you know, football for any player, right? I mean, I just think for what he's making now, there's somebody else who can do what he's doing and do a better job of it. I just, you know, I don't dislike the player, but it's like, okay, like, I think he needs a change of scenery.
So a week ago, Calgary played Vancouver in Calgary. And I think it was the best Flames game of the year. 5-2 victory. Markstrom was good. Lindholm had a goal and two assists. Huberto had a goal and an assist. Do we use the term breakout for those two players? You shouldn't be, but we are probably.
Well, it snapped a slump, if nothing else.
It did slump. And gosh, it's where I was drinking all day today. Huberto just looked different that game. He really did. He didn't look slow.
He didn't, you know, he looked like he was keeping up the play and was engaged, right?
And I thought he backed it up pretty solid. I thought the Islanders, he was good. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was, I thought he was pretty good in the Seattle game too. He had 2 points in that game, and I'm not just judging it off points. It was a high output minute night for him. It was his highest in quite some time at a little over 20 minutes. And then Nashville last night, I thought he was a little bit, maybe took a step back. I don't know.
Oh, well, we talked about that, like I mentioned that giveaway earlier, like that alone was a huge faux pas, but it was definitely a step back. It's one game. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, you know, to throw another cliche out there, but yeah, it was unfortunate. And the power play ended up costing the game too.
But I also don't, you know, like, I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill on him having a couple of good games, meaning that the problems are solved either. I think it's a step.
It just means they're solvable to some extent.
Yeah. You know what, Kyle, that might be the freaking quote of the show right there. No, I'm serious. So I think what you just said right there is probably why most of us Flames fans, I don't want to say breathe a sigh of relief, but actually just, you know, it did create some relief in me that, you know, there is this guy's a good hockey player.
And he's a fantastic hockey player. This is taking longer than any of us would have liked. It's a matter of opportunity, chemistry. And again, you know, as I've stated several times and you have as well, like, it's hard to overstate the gravity of the change from South Florida to Calgary in every conceivable way.
Right? I know, but after 100 games, I'm just, I don't, my patience.
But that's what I mean. It's taken way longer than first and foremost, he would have liked, never mind the rest of us, right?
I feel bad for the guy. I do.
How can you not? He's a great teammate. He's a great player. Yeah. Like, he was a legend in nearby St. John, like, as a junior player. Like, it's, you know, it's one. I mean, and again, like, I don't think we're out of the woods with this yet, but I mean, there's a lot of positives of late. Tomorrow night against Dallas, maybe, well, probably tonight by the time people hear this, it's going to be, you know, a very tough opponent, a very telltale game, I think. I mean, I like to think that the Nashville game was a bit of a blip and this team is really starting to turn a corner. But we'll see. And I mean, that it's guys like Huberto that are going to make it happen.
I got a question on the Nashville game. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe you got some insight that would prove me wrong on this, but I just don't understand how closing your hand on it in the puck and throwing it in front of the net. How did this become a goal?
I have no idea. It's another embarrassment for the league, because that there's no realm in existence wherein that should have been allowed.
Because in Rule 67.2, it says a player shall be permitted to catch the puck out of the air, but must immediately place it or knock it down to the ice. Mm-hmm. If he catches it and skates with it, either to avoid a check or to gain territorial advantage over his opponent, a minor penalty should be assessed. Well, I don't know how much more territorial.
It's like traveling in basketball. You just can't do it.
But it was pretty clear, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So did you, I didn't hear, and maybe this was my fault, but I didn't hear a clarification from the league today on this one. But it went to challenge and it still didn't. But like, I'm really confused on this one. And that's it. And I'm not making excuses on that's why the Flames lost this game. I don't think the Flames were very good last night. But that's a turning point. That makes a 2-1 game 3-1.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. And the other issue is, it's like, so you're going through these fail safes, we'll call them, right? So the fact it counts in the first place, problem one. So you go to review. It gets to review somehow, problem two. The third problem is that you can't even criticize the league or the officiating in the post game. Because somebody should be able to raise questions and say, that was a terrible call. Watch the replay. It didn't make any sense. Everybody makes mistakes, but then all of a sudden you get fined for it.
You can't.
That's not okay.
That
drives me nuts about this freaking league.
And maybe I'm missing something. And maybe I missed it today. And if I did, I apologize. But usually there's clarification from the league on these controversial plays. And I don't know. That one just to me was really cut and dried, and it didn't change.
Nope. No, and it should have. And I agree with you. I don't think it necessarily cost them the game, but it certainly changed momentum a lot.
It's a huge momentum Flames
built. Yeah.
Backlund this week, there was a report that he had talked to one or multiple guys in the locker room and basically laid down the line and said, there's no more noise. We do not need more distractions. I would expect this from Backlund. I always thought he was a good leader, and I believe he is a good leader. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he's a rah-rah captain, and I personally don't give a shit, because I don't think rah-rah captains get you anywhere in the National Hockey League.
No.
I don't know why this was a big news story that he did this, because I expected him to do this. But it did seem to settle this team down.
Yeah, I don't know how this came to be in terms of, you know, Zadorov and his agent and like these different distractions that have popped up. Like, this should have been quelled a while ago, or never should have happened, really.
Never should have happened.
But I mean, good on him for taking control. And maybe that's kind of a hard thing to answer, I guess, which is it's just a case of where you kind of wonder what he was thinking this entire time and why he finally decided to speak up. And obviously, it seemed, like you said, seems to have had a positive effect. But there's going to be trades. There's going to be guys that are going to be gone. Quite a few of them, I suspect. And until such time as that happens, hopefully this is the last we hear of it. Apart from, you know, fans, hockey insiders, whatever. You know, they can talk about whatever they want. That's the joy of sports. We all love trades and trade talk and all that stuff. You see these fantasy trades on X all the time.
Half of them are fun.
I told a scout one time, you know, this is a few years ago. I said, you know, I think the Blue Jackets should have traded Josh Anderson straight up to Calgary for Sam Bennett, maybe a pick. He said, that's a great trade idea. I said, well, thanks. Like, you know, a couple struggling players. Like, we all have cool scenarios in our heads, but.
Except for I'm always, the Josh Anderson thing has been rumored to Calgary for freaking eons. And I am so deathly afraid to get that guy because I don't trust his health at all.
Well, he's been snake bit pretty well all year too. So anyway, yeah. that ship is sailing. He's on a big contract, whatever. But anyway, again, yeah. Apart from the fans and hockey talk, you know, in those circles, hopefully the locker room part of it is done.
So I heard one today, and I'll throw it out on the show. Would you? And I don't think Edmonton would do this. They should probably do this.
I know where you're going. I love it.
No, I don't think you know where I'm going on this one, actually.
Okay, well, I'll come back with a different one if it's not the same. Go ahead.
Edmonton needs a goalie. Like, So they're going to have to get desperate.
They should be desperate now.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for Jacob Markstrom.
So I was talking about Markstrom to Edmonton. I hadn't heard about what the return would be.
Well, of course, there's a ton of rumors out there with ridiculously stupid returns.
Yeah.
You know, just shedding all their crappy guys, and Calgary would never do that. But I heard that Nugent Hopkins, you want to find a center to replace Lindholm, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, and we'll give you Jacob Markstrom. And we'll maybe even eat some salary.
I'm not opposed to trading Markstrom at all, but I'm not huge on Nugent Hopkins. I'm really not.
I'm not huge on him, but I almost think he would be more of an asset than Lindholm. Am I crazy for saying that? I think there's so much more offensive upside. Is he good as good defensively? No. But I this team needs a scoring forward so bad.
I agree. I don't think anybody can dispute that, quite frankly.
And so I don't know. I mean, I look at it this way. You bring him into the mix, and then you move Lindholm for more young assets, and we look a whole lot better, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I immediately thought of Duchesne in Colorado and Sakic hanging on to him for so long. We talked about that before, but Conroy hanging on to these players as a means of seeing where his team goes, but also where the market goes, is about the best play you can make right now. Mm-hmm. Unless you get a, you know, now there's all this talk because John Klingberg's on LTIR in Toronto, which was a horrible signing from day one.
Oh.
But you know, he's the worst defensive defenseman in the NHL.
Right. I got another one that would be, or two of them would be right up there with him, but yes.
Well, Carlson's not far behind him, but at least Carlson has enough offense to offset it. Anyway, so So with Klingberg on LTIR, like the thinking is Toronto would want Zadorov or could now afford Zadorov, which if they can, great. And if there's a scenario where in Toronto offers up the right package, obviously you pull the trigger. But as of right now, like these picks, these prospects, all these things we hope to get in return for these expiring contracts, these UFAs, they should be pretty lucrative, but they're not going to be as lucrative now as it will be in a couple months as every team kind of sees where they're at, who's the playoff pitcher and who isn't. And as of right now, much to probably, well, certainly my surprise, and I assume yours, the Flames are somewhat competitive.
Well, you know, to our surprise, based off what we've seen in the past 2 weeks, yes. But going into the season, we had probably much higher expectations.
Yeah, we all did. Of course we did. Yeah. How could we not with the roster we have, right? And the coaching change and all the positivity we expected that to bring.
What did you hear from Edmonton? And then we'll get off the trade.
Well, it was just that, just the talk about trading Markstrom to Edmonton.
Sure.
But I mean, the problem is now, if you're an Oilers fan, like, man, they're in a deep, deep hole.
Well, they're running out of time.
Well, I mean, arguably, a goalie is one thing. I mean, Draisaitl and McDavid have not been good defensively, and that's only to pick on their two-star players, right? Getting a number one goaltender, like, that's... It's going to solve their biggest problem. It's going to get them into the playoffs. I don't know now.
But they have to do something and do something quick. And I'll tell you what, they're going to have to lose a trade to get one, though. They're going to have to lose
a trade. Yeah, that's the only way you can do it.
And I mean, that's just the facts of what it is right now. They're going to have to lose a trade to make this work.
Yep.
I want to talk a little bit about... Pospisil and Zari. And the reason I want to talk about that is because, number one, if the Flames need to make a decision here, because on December 3rd, it'll be the 30th day that both DeSimone and Pospisil are on the NHL roster, and both would then require waivers to be demoted to the AHL.
Yeah.
Is DeSimone a guy that's with us all year probably now, with the defenseman having to go out with via trades? I'm guessing he's probably going to be there all year now, huh?
He was probably going to be anyway, the way that he's played. I mean, he's been pretty steady.
Yep.
Unremarkable, which is what you want in that third pairing role. But I don't see how he goes anywhere, especially with, you know, a guy like Poirier, who is a little defensively underdeveloped and also hurt. I mean, if he was ready, then there might be more of a debate. But what are your thoughts on, do you see any other way where he wouldn't be staying with the team?
I think he'd be staying for sure. Pospisil, I honestly believe, and I don't know this for a fact, obviously, but I believe he was brought up as a short-term guy to come in and try to get a spark, and I think he's stuck. You know what I mean?
He kind of, it's weird because, well, it's not necessarily weird, I guess, but like he kind of bucked the trend of, like, you know, usually a guy is like a 60 to 90 point scorer in the AHL. It's like, all right, he's ready for the NHL. Pospisil had so many injuries. It was like, he always had potential, good along the boards, uses his size well.
I love this guy.
Well, how do you not? But he just,
I love this guy. I told my wife, I said, I want a freaking jersey. I love this guy. He's just, he's so fun. He's so exciting. He's doing everything I love an NHL player to do. And I had to laugh. I had one of my buddies text me, and he said, and it was autocorrect, obviously, but he said, who's this popsicle guy? And I thought, oh man, this guy, I don't know. I love him. I love this guy. I love him.
Yeah. It's like,
go ahead.
No, just going to say, like, it's very Michael Ferland-esque, actually.
With a little bit more scoring touch, though.
Yeah, Ferland had a great shot. But I mean, Ferland was also a bit tougher, too. So you're kind of trading one quality for the other, right? Yep. But I mean, we expected good things from Zari. Maybe not as good as, certainly not, I would say, as good as he's been this quick anyway. Pospisil just wowed everyone. And anybody who tells me that, oh, Pospisil was going to make the NHL team, or he would have stuck once he got a chance, fuck off. I don't believe you. Nobody called this one.
No.
Yeah, saying you got some swampland in Florida, I can tell you, you know?
Yeah. You know, speaking of young prospects, I did see this week too, Cade Littler, who was playing in the United States Hockey League for Cedar Rapids, left the team, and his move from the USHL to the BCHL for Penticton, which is interesting to me. I have some ties to Cade Littler. I know his dad pretty well.
Oh yeah.
And I was shocked by this. Really, I was, because he's preparing next year. He'll be playing for the University of North Dakota. And North Dakota always has a lot of guys out of the USHL, but they do usually take a lot of players from Penticton too.
Right.
They said it was a stylistic difference in game, and it is. The USHL is more of a high-paced, speed, run and gun, lots of shots league, where the BCHL, which would technically be a tier lower, is more of a physical type of play. And I'm interested to see how that all turns out and everything, but I thought that was a real interesting thing this week.
Yeah, that is for sure. You hear a lot about Penticton too, so that is kind of
it's a good breeding. It's a good hotbed. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of, you know, the junior ranks and college ranks and all that, I have been attending a lot more Moncton Wildcats games, you know, our local junior team. Just in general, be more supportive, but also because of Etienne Morin, who of course is Flames property, and he's been racking up the points. And you know, that's a pick that I expect to go somewhere, hopefully, for the Flames in the next few years. But I'll keep an eye on him all season. Actually, tomorrow night, the Wildcats are retiring Corey Crawford's number 29.
Oh, I did. You know what I did? I saw that on social media.
Yeah,
I did see that.
That's 10-minute drive from my house, so I'm gonna go check that out tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be a good game to go to. Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. It's always been thought of as a marker for playoffs. And let's take a little look at the standings and see where the Flames sit right now. In the Pacific, Vegas leads with 30 points. Vancouver has 27, is in second. LA, who's been really good lately, 7-1-2 in their last 10. They're sitting at 25. Seattle's got that fourth spot, 21 points. Anaheim with 18. Calgary with 17, sitting in sixth. Edmonton, oof, they are a long ways down. 10 points out of fourth. They're sitting at 11 points. And, of course, San Jose was seven. So Calgary is out of a Calgary is out of a playoff spot as it stands right now. But if you look at it, a win last night almost – and a win and some help last night would have put them in a wild card spot. They didn't get the help that would have done that. But they're 3 points back of Seattle and St. Louis for the final wild card spot. So definitely within reach. In reach. Is this a team that you think can make that leap and get into the playoffs?
Absolutely. There's no question at all.
See, I'm going to argue. I'm going to push back here, and I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here because I want this team to make the playoffs. But I look at it, and I'm like, okay, in the Pacific, they're not bumping Vegas, Vancouver, and LA.
No, but I expect.
But they could easily get through St. Louis and Seattle.
I expect them to get through both those teams, but I mean, I'm not sure that the three you mentioned are necessarily going to be for real. We're still really early, right? So, and I don't know which one. LA, I think, is a very good team. Vegas, I could be a bit of a hangover there. And Vancouver, I'm still trying to figure out that offense is going to cool off a bit at some point. And that's where
I know but they're getting the goaltending. Their defense is so much improved.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
As much as I hate Vancouver, I'm really on their wagon right now. Like, they're a good hockey team.
You know, actually, and I suggest this to anybody, and I know you do it a lot yourself. If you want to know about your Pacific Division rivals or any rivals in your division in hockey, talk to the people on Twitter. So I think it's West Coast Hockey is a LA Kings account that I follow. We've had some great dialogue about, you know, how are the Kings this good, or what are they doing well, or who's, you know, and you can look up the stats, but unless you really watch a team,
yes,
you don't know, right?
I've watched, I bet you, 80% of Vancouver's games this year. It pains me. It pains me to see them this good. It really does, but they've impressed me. They have.
Yep.
LA, I was high on LA right out of the chute this year, and LA has done everything, and they've got the goaltending from Cam Talbot that they needed. So far, so good there. But I do agree with you, though. We should probably be ahead of St. Louis, Seattle, Anaheim, and Arizona. I wonder what will happen with Edmonton. I really do. I mean, they are fully capable of moving back into a playoff spot, but the hole is getting really deep, and we're 18 games in Edmonton, and you've got 11 points.
Yep.
That's just amazing. It's just amazing.
Yep. No, it's pretty incredible. It really is. I mean, just thinking back at, you know, this whole American Thanksgiving thing and, you know, the playoff implications of it. I try not to make a big deal out of it, but it is very telling. Because what you'll find at the end of the season is that everybody's going to talk about all the points that they didn't get in October, for example, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't often tie it back. We talk about Thanksgiving now because it's this weekend, right? But when we look at, like, you know, months from now, this is all those points that they lost, you know, that 6-game losing streak. That's what's going to kill Calgary if they don't make the playoffs.
Yep. Last year, 100%. You know, last year, the losses to teams like Chicago and, you know, the bad hockey teams. That was our death last year. And this year it is. It's going to be that 2-week stretch where we couldn't get a point to save our life.
Yep.
You know, one thing that I noticed, and I want to talk about this a little bit this week, that is a little bit different than last year, and it is our X factor of the week, is the resiliency of this team compared to last year. Last year, when we were down 3-1, this team folded every time. And against, I believe it was the Islanders here last week, this team was down 3-1 and came back to, albeit losing a shootout, but they got back into that spot. And Jeff Miller, from @BananaCooler had a tweet that said, does anyone else feel like the Flames team would have folded after being down 3-1 not even 2 weeks ago? Now they are playing with a new energy and a new feel, like they will always make a comeback. And they did that night. And it does feel different. It did that night. And I even felt it a little bit watching. I mean, albeit I had to watch the Nashville game recorded, unfortunately. I felt like last night is like, I just felt like we were going to get one when it was 2-1. And we had a ton of posts and stuff. But so many times last year, I felt like it was just doomsday when things didn't go our way and we got down. And it does feel like there's a little bit more energy this year with a chance of coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good, actually, it's a really good point that out. I mean, it seems kind of, it's kind of something we've all understood, but you know, it's nice to see it kind of laid out like that, because absolutely they would have folded. That resiliency, yeah. that belief. And again, we said about sports all the time, like, you know, mental part is the biggest part of it. And this is a great example of that.
Do you think that comes back to the attitude though?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too. I think, you know, when you have a more positive attitude in the room, things, you just, it opens up opportunity for success more, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel a little bit more comfortable this year when we do get down. And thank goodness we're not having to get down on the first shot like we did a lot last year. But thanks for the X Factor, Jeff. We always appreciate those.
And, yeah, great one. Yeah,
every week we find good stuff on Flames Twitter. It's such a good way to communicate with other Flames fans. We hope everybody gets out on there. And of course, make sure you follow us, because that's probably the most important thing, don't you think, Kyle?
It is to us, for sure.
Milan Lucic this week. Just want to touch on this quick and then move away from it. But was this something that surprised you?
That's a tricky one. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect something like that. Were you taken aback by it?
I was. I don't know. You know, I was, for the most part. And then after I thought about it, I was like, you know, this guy's been a roller coaster the last 5 years, 6 years. I mean, his time in Edmonton was disastrous. The pressure was huge. He comes to Calgary and things did not go well out of the chutes, and contemplated retirement. Things got a little better, but the heat was definitely on again last year. And he's making big money and he's having to deal with that. And then he goes back home to Boston and things weren't off to a rousing start there. And I think the writing was on the wall that it's over, right? And I hate to see anything negative happen, but it pains me to have families involved with situations like this. So I'm super unfortunate.
Yeah, no, it is, for sure. I mean, I don't know. You know, we've seen a few of these circumstances over the years, and I don't want to be presumptuous either, but I mean, I remember, you know, Patrick Waugh years ago. And
oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, we'll see what comes of it. I mean, it could just be a, you know, dispute of some kind that got overblown and somebody calls the police because of some yelling. Like, I mean, who knows? I don't want to speculate, but it's an unfortunate thing. And I mean, I was really excited for Luch to go back to Boston, and I hope whatever's going on with him and his family or his personal life is, it was resolved in short order, and he's back on the ice with the Bruins and, you know, joins that incredibly impressive team.
Unfortunately, some of the reports from the Boston police were not so good, but
I didn't see them for, I guess, fortunately for me.
Yeah. Not a real good look. We'll just put it at that and then move on. So the general managers met this last week, like right after we recorded the last show, and they talked a little bit about 3-on-3 overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get your take on this. I wanted to get your thoughts on what solution you would like to see, or if maybe there isn't a solution, or maybe, you know, what are your thoughts on what we can do to maybe improve this?
Like our overtime record, you mean?
No, like the league itself. They've talked about they talked about getting some of the energy back in 3-on-3 and talked about, you know, some different solutions to making it more exciting. When 3-on-3 first came in, it was more run and gun, and then coaches ruined it by making it 100% a possession game where you know, rotate back. So they talked about instituting rules where once you gain the blue line, you can't come out of the blue line with the puck. They talked
about it. I don't know. I mean, I just by nature of how much ice is out there, like when you're playing 3-on-3, it's always going to be possession based.
I agree.
There's just too much space, and it's super exciting. Like, it's incredibly exciting, but because there's so much space out there and so few players, you can't really control it. But you can't really.
Chances have been limited, though.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, it just depends. My solution
is I surely don't really want an over and back rule. I definitely don't want the shot clock rule that they talked about, but I think it could be more exciting if we just played 10 minutes instead of 5, because then you're going to force more players to have to play in the overtime, like third liners. Mm-hmm. And that equals more mistakes, more line matching situations. And I think we'll end most all of the games before the shootout, because it's not just me. It's a lot of people hate shootouts.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I shootouts are entertaining, but they're a terrible way to decide a game. That's how I would dub them.
I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. I understand why they did it. Like, I do.
Nobody wants a tie. Overtimes, if they play continuous and regular season, no game would ever end. It just would create a litany of problems, right? Yeah. Injuries, fatigue, TV rights problems, advertising. It just doesn't work, right?
I agree. I agree completely. I don't know what the solution is. I just hope, you know what? Here's the way I'm gonna sum it up. I don't really know if I care what solution they come up with in that aspect. Just please don't ever screw with the postseason.
Yeah, I agree. The length of the games, the continuous overtime. Yeah, I don't know. I agree.
Do not screw with that.
Yeah.
This weekend, the Flames start a gauntlet of games. The next 2 weeks will determine a lot of where the Flames playoff fate will go.
Yep.
You go Friday night in Dallas, Saturday night back to back in Colorado. Monday you're home to Vegas, followed by Dallas, followed by Vancouver, Minnesota, Carolina, and New Jersey. Then you go to Colorado and Vegas. So by December 12th, that is 10 games where you almost double up multiple cup contenders.
Yeah, that is absolutely daunting, to say the least.
That is wow.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really get any better, because the next 3 games after the ones I listed are Minnesota, Tampa Bay, and Florida. So,
well, we're going to know a lot. That's for sure.
We're definitely going to know a lot come mid-December, because this is a gauntlet of games, and I really don't know. If you get out of the next 10, 500, are you then in pretty darn good shape down the stretch then?
Well, you'd think, just based on what you said. I mean, the next portion of the schedule should be significantly easier. So,
based
on those opponents, I'd take 500 all day.
I would too. I would definitely
bar that low.
Gosh, that is a gauntlet. Oof. Should be an interesting weekend.
Oh, it shall. It shall.
Good, definitely. Well, I think we've covered everything on my list tonight.
I'm good.
There's lots to talk about this week. And, you know, like you said early in the beginning of the show, it was a good week. Last night's game kind of soured my excitement just a tad bit. Yeah. Cause if we got 2 points last night, it would have made a big, big difference. But, all in all, you know, we really can't complain in the last little stretch. It's been pretty darn good.
Not at all. It's been significantly better, and we'll see what happens in Dallas. Like I said, if the power play gets rolling, then that would make a huge difference, but
it would.
Well, no, like you said, we're going to know a hell of a lot more in the next 2.5 weeks or so.
You're not going to want to miss next week's show. We're going to have a lot more to talk about. We'll be a few games through this difficult schedule. We'll have a little bit more clarity there. Last week on the show, we talked a little bit about Unfern and his jersey and why it was switched when he came back the second time. Got a little inside information. Talked to his son, Matt Vernon, and he's going to join the show, give all the listeners the lowdown on why that happened, talk a little bit about his career. Lots to talk about next week on Flames Unfiltered. Flames fans, it's going to be a busy, busy schedule ahead. Enjoy. We thank all you guys for tuning in each and every week for Flames Unfiltered. Have a good week, Flames fans, and we are back next week.
Can't wait.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berud and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.